You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Psalms 25 says this. I'm going to read through. I don't know how far we're going to get. Hopefully I'll get through the whole thing. But I know how y'all are. Okay. First verse says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Well, that's got to be first place. That's kind of like the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength. Well, we need to lift our soul toward God and look to God. Amen. Oh my God, I trust in you. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
You know, it's one thing to look. It's another thing to trust. You know, it's one thing. Now stay with me. It's one thing to love and it's another thing to trust. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are people I love. I don't trust them.
Amen.
There may be people that love me but don't trust me. There's a difference. It's a different area, you know, when you get in. I love people. I love my kids. There's a lot of things I wouldn't, you know, as grandkids, you wouldn't trust them with, you know, until they get a little older and get a little more mature. And hello.
Amen.
Are you with me? And there are people that you know that certain areas you probably wouldn't trust them in. Maybe, you know, they just got a different way of thinking, I mean, than you do. But you love them. So here he says, I look to you, but I trust you. You know, there's a difference between just praying and praying in faith. Just calling on God, then calling God in faith. And in this case, he makes it real plain. He says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in you. I trust you. I'm not just looking up at you. I'm not just saying why. I'm saying, help me, Lord. I believe you can and you will. You know, David did some questioning. You'll see in the Psalms many times, he kind of complained. I mean, he gets kind of, you know, got in sin, really did. David would just whine and whine. But you know what? By the end of the Psalm, he'd generally get back around and repent and ask God to forgive him. And he says, God delivered me and saved me. I trust you. I like this one. He starts right out trusting him. That's the way it should be. Amen? And hey, you can complain too, and you can get down, and you can get to wow, wow, and yeah, yeah, and nobody knows the trouble I've seen, you know, and start wondering why. But, you know, at some point you got to stop all that and you got to say, God, you're good. Devil's bad. Whatever happened here wasn't you. I mean, where do we get the idea God's behind everything? It's not a biblical idea, incidentally, that every bad thing that happened to us, God has a purpose or a plan or God's using it for, you know, some greater end. Yet the Scripture is very plain what the devil does and what God does and what you do. You know, many people say, well, God made me do it. God didn't make you do anything. Or even the devil made me do it, even, you know. There's a comedian called Flip Wilson that made a show on that. The devil made me do it. But you have a choice in life. God is good. Devil's bad, pure and simple. There are bad things that happen in life. There are good things that happen in life. I would think that if you understand the Bible correctly, that the bad things you're going to have to attribute to somebody other than God. You understand the Bible correctly, God's the one that saves and heals, the one that sets free, the one that puts us back up on our feet again. We live in a broken world, and God is not in control. He's not in complete control of everything that goes on. He will be. He said he would. He's coming. He prophesied it. He told us about a new heaven, a new earth. But at this point, we're still here. And sinners, lost people are still here. And the devil's still here. Until that changes, there's always going to be tragedy and crisis and things that go wrong, but it's not God that's behind it. That's the result of sin. And somebody else's sin affects you. It's not always your fault when something goes bad. I think you can account for a lot of things in your life because of your sin or bad decisions. I know I can point to many things. But sometimes I'm just sucker punched. I'm just here in the world, and because we all have free wills, I cross paths and rub shoulders, are you with me? And we're affected by other people's sin. Drive-by shootings, you can name all kinds of things. Now, that wasn't God. It was just that was someone who sinned that did that. All right, having said that. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in you. We're rolling, aren't we? I think we're going to get through this tonight. You think so? Oh, my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Hallelujah. He's looking to God for victory.
Amen.
He's not looking to God to go under. He's not praying, God, help me lose. Nobody prays for God to help him lose. God is in the business of helping people win. You don't pray, God, depress me today. I'm feeling way too good. No, we look to God to give us peace. Are you with me? I'm feeling pretty strong, pretty healthy today, God. I just think, I'm wondering if you might just put a little sickness on. Where do you see any prayers like that in the Bible? God doesn't do that. God heals. God, are you with me? God gives peace. God gives restoration. And ultimately, hallelujah, He'll take us to heaven when we die. Man, that's a promise we can stand on. Amen. So he's praying like we should pray to God in a way that we should pray to God with the right attitude and concept of God, which we should have, that God is the God that doesn't let his enemies triumph over him. God is the God that doesn't let him be confounded or ashamed in battle. In third verse, indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. See, we won't be ashamed, confounded, and lose if we'll just wait on God. Amen. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Love that. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. See, God's paths are specific. They're not just general. I mean, God's paths aren't good and bad and up and down. God is good. His paths are good. His paths are holy. If you're going to walk God's way, you're going to have to walk in love. You're going to have to forgive. Very specific. God is a specific God. He's not a, you know, he's not everything. He's not bad and good. He's good. Even Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, he said, woe be unto those that call evil good and good evil, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, God forbid that we'd do that. So God's good, and the psalmist David's asking God to help him, teach him his ways. Well, you never know what the Lord will do. Well, the psalmist is asking God to teach him what the Lord will do so that he could do the same thing. I mean, the idea that we don't know what God does, well, we're supposed to forgive as Christ forgave, aren't we? We're supposed to love as he loved us. Come on. So we know some things he does. We don't know everything, but we know some things he does. And they are good things. God is good. All the time. Hallelujah. You know, we used to sing this years ago at Lakewood Church. wow, should I even try that tonight? Probably shouldn't. But anyway, as King James, we'd say, unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my voice. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over you. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my voice. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my voice. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And then it would jump to the fourth verse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Anyway, I won't torture you with the rest of it. But anyway, we just took that and we sang it, which is a good thing to do, is to sing the Psalms. These were Psalms. Everybody say Psalms. The Psalms are praises, is what they were. That's what the word means, Psalms. And these actually literally were sung. Of course, we've lost the tune, you know, over the years. But I think it's neat that we pick up some of them. And a lot of songs we sing are right out of the Psalms or formed from what is written here. Hallelujah. You know, you start singing something, you remember it, don't you? Get it in your head, can't get it out. I mean, I said one line Sunday morning, and that's the one thing everybody remembered. Get out of that bed, wash those pots and pans. That's an old song, incidentally, and dated everybody that knew the song. It was an old, old rock and roll song. And that's what everybody remembered about that sermon, because it was just stuck in your head from those old days. Get that out of your head. Anyway. So, yeah, thank you, Michael. So it says in the third verse, indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Now there's a God consciousness. There's a eyes upon Him, a focus on the Lord. For what purpose, what intent, what benefit? It's one thing for me to stand up here and just give you instruction, you know, or to give you the principle of the formulas, as it were. But I think the bottom line really is you need to understand what is the benefit, what is the purpose. What's the purpose of serving God? Why should we call on Him? Why should we cry out unto Him? Why should we have a God consciousness? So you can have a good day. Are you with me? So you quit having all those bad days. So you quit losing, hallelujah, and start winning. So you start shining and beaming and letting people see Him in your life. Hallelujah. You know, when you call on Him and He moves in your life and He gives you peace and He blesses you, the world sees that.
Right.
And that's a reflection on Him.
Yes.
And, you know, that old saying, you know, the church is the best thing God's got going, and it's the worst thing God's got going, but it's the only thing God's got going. Sometimes we are responsible for many people not coming to Jesus when we should be responsible for people coming to the Lord.
Yeah.
We painted a bad picture of Him. We said things about Him weren't true. We lived in the mully grubs and down and depressed. And, are you with me? And people look at that, and we as Christians profess to be Christians. That doesn't endear them to God. It doesn't draw them to God. It doesn't give them any idea of what benefits there really are from serving God. Hallelujah. Now, crisis hits, but I tell you, we come up, we rise up, we heal up. Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
We're Christians, we're believers.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And he says this, he says, lead me in your truth. Hereby saying truth.
Truth.
Okay. You know what a map's for? Map's real simple. Map will not get you anywhere. But a map, if you'll follow it, will give you instruction and tell you where to go and what road to take to get to certain cities, as it were. This is God's map. This is His truth. This is what we're supposed to be led by. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we get up and we get the route down. I need peace today. What's the route? You know, what's the way? Lead me in your truth. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee.
Yeah, right.
Because he trusteth in thee, goes on to say. So if I focus and fix my mind on the Lord and trust in the Lord, he'll keep me in perfect peace. There's a way and a road to peace. The map. Map does not lie. Amen.
Right.
The map won't get you there, but it will give you instruction on how to get there. And so as we read through here, we're getting instructions, something to do, something to think, something to say, you know, that has benefit, that has blessing on the other end. You know, I like to say it this way. Your blessing is on the other side of your obedience.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is. I mean, if you read Deuteronomy, which I love Deuteronomy, it's the second giving of the law. It's what the word means, Deuteronomy's second nomos law. As you read through there, he's constantly saying, you know, cleave to the Lord your God. Do that which is right in his sight. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Hearken diligently to my voice. Keep these commandments. But in every case, he would say, that you may live, that I would bless you, and all these blessings will come on you. There was always, on the other side of that, there was a blessing. And our blessing is waiting on the other side of our obedience. I believe that. And if we'll develop a God consciousness, and it's tough. It's a discipline. The world is not bent that way. It doesn't have a propensity toward God or a proclivity. Are you with me? It's not inclined toward God. In the work world, if you work in the world, you know, it's just not, they're not just talking about the Lord all day long and quoting Scripture. We hear a lot all in the news that's just negative and just constant negative, all that goes on around the world, and we should pray. I mean, I think about all the things going on in Japan, the things going on in our government, the things that, goodness, went on in Australia not too long ago, just a few months ago, they had flooding. Now Japan's massive amount of people were killed by the tsunami, and they still have problems with the nuclear reactors. Well, you know, you can just get down if that's all you listen to. But if you pray for those people and believe that God's going to touch and heal and there's going to be some recoveries and families are going to come back together and God's going to restore that nation again, you know, and can't help what has happened, but I tell you, we can do something now that it has happened and, you know, and take hope in God.
Amen.
Amen. And then you look at our country and all the things that are going on around our country, economies, you know, in state after state. And my goodness, listen, I want to lift my eyes and my soul toward heaven.
Yes.
Praise God. And I want God to teach me His ways. This world's messed up. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Hello. But we can have peace. And we can put our trust in Him. Amen. If we'll ask Him to lead us in His ways. Lead me in your truth. Fifth verse. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. On you I wait all the day. I'm looking to God for my deliverance. Okay. I'm doing everything I should do in the natural, you know, and budgeting all those things and saving all those things we should do in the natural. But I'm looking to God for my salvation. I'm looking for God for my deliverance. I'm looking to Him for my blessing and for favor. I want to keep my eyes fixed and focused. Amen. Sixth verse. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies, your loving kindness, for they are from of old. God has always been known for His tender mercies and His loving kindness.
Amen.
And if He's loving to anybody and He's tender and merciful to anybody, it might as well be me.
Yes,
might as well be you. Amen. Praise God. He's looking for somebody to shed that on. Why don't we just step up to the plate and say, "Here I am, Lord. Bless me." Amen.
Right.
I look to you. I trust in you. Let me be that person that trusts and bless, trusts and looks to you and is blessed because of it. Hallelujah. And he says this in the seventh verse, "Do not remember the sins of my youth." I hope you don't. You're going to live a miserable life. You're just going to live in the past.
Right.
I mean, even yesterday. Come on. If you repented of it, let's go on.
Amen.
You can't change it. You know, the past is engraved in stone. It's done. It's unchangeable. You can repent of it and go forward. Hello. Or you can just keep looking at it and just back into your future. Turn around. Hello. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies, your loving kindness, for they are of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. You know how God looks at me and you, if you know Jesus and you repented of your sin? I hope you have. You know, if you do sin, repent, confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, He's just, faithful, forgive your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know how God looks at you? He looks at you through His tender mercies. He doesn't look at you through your sin. He looks at you through His tender mercies. I don't care if it was today, if you repented of it. Hello. Yesterday, last week. How many times the devil brings sins back up? Things we've done a year ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. People you hurt, when you think about them, the pain comes, the condemnation comes again. Listen, get your eyes on God. God is a merciful God. You've repented of that sin. Let's go forward. Let's don't live in the pain of that thing. He took the pain of that. He took upon Him our sins. He bore our sins. Why are we taking them back for? He bore our sins. In His body on the cross. Hallelujah. And by His stripes we were healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, even more so, this is Old Testament. We can look to Jesus beyond what David even saw. And we're living in the covenant of forgiveness and mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Well, I just can't seem to get it right. Well, you will get it right. Quit thinking that you're going to continue to repeat the past. Hello. You can turn it around. God's merciful. He's forgiving. He doesn't remember them. You quit remembering them. Amen?
Yeah.
For your goodness sake, O Lord. Good, eighth verse, and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, when I repent, He turns me around. He teaches me. He puts me back on. He's always, He believes in me. See, that's what's so good about God, is He really believes in me. He thinks that I can do it. He thinks that I can make it. You know, and I trust in that. I lean heavy on that. Because I don't always believe in myself. I don't always in the natural. But God believes in me, and that helps me believe.
Yeah.
Are you with me? I think of maybe my background or upbringing or my education or lack thereof. Hello. My gifts or my lack of gifts. You know, it's always, you know, the devil always wants to keep you in the natural, in the flesh. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, we know the 17th verse says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You know, we all know that. And that's true. We are in Christ. Now old things are passed away. Hallelujah. All things become new. I'm a new creature in Christ now. And who hath reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. We've been reconciled. But if you back up verse 2 before He says that, He said, I know no man after the flesh anymore. Even though we've known Christ, we know Him in the flesh no longer. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
Old things are passed away. And all things have become new, and all things are of God.
Praise God.
Woo! Hallelujah. What's inside of me now is God. Not everything happens, not all things that happen, but all things in this new creation.
Yes.
It's a God thing. This salvation thing, this born again thing, this Jesus thing, this Christian thing is a God thing. It's not a man thing. No, no, no. I'm a new creature. And so I should not know myself in the flesh anymore. And I shouldn't know you in the flesh anymore. Are you with me? We shouldn't know each other in the flesh anymore. Because we're new creatures. Yeah. Man. Whew. That's good stuff. That'll preach right there. Yes. We can have camp meeting right there, but I got to go on. Hallelujah. So he says this. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The ninth verse. The humble he guides in justice. Stay humble. Stay humble. Don't let pride creep in. You know, that's the thing I fight. I have to fight pride as a minister, as a preacher, as a, you know, I'm up front all the time. People are always telling me how good the sermons are and pat me on. And that's fine. I understand that, and I appreciate that. Please don't stop that. But anyway, having said that, you get to thinking you're somebody that you're not. I remember what I was before I got saved. I never want to forget that. Are you with me? And anything I have, God gave me.
That's right. Yes.
So if I got a sharp mind, God gave me a sharp mind. Okay. If I'm a good preacher, well, God made me a good preacher. It's a gift. It's all a gift. My gifts, really. You know what God gives to me, my talents and so on. They're gifts. Okay. What I do with it is my gift to Him. Are you with me? So any gifts you have, any talent you have, any character, anything you have, if you have a good mind, whatever the case may be, it's God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. Are you with me? And so there's no room to boast there, because what do we have that we did not receive? Are you with me? And so you have to watch it. You have to stay humble. And if you stay humble, God will keep using you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. That's what the Scripture says.
Yes.
Amen. So that's something we all have to watch, especially when you're up front all the time, and especially as a pastor, a leader, or what. Always watch pride. Pride is the original sin. I'm telling you, that's the first sin. The devil, with pride, fell from heaven. Mm-hmm. It's the original sin. He taught mankind, and mankind learned it well. And we need to watch it and stay humble. But if we will stay humble, in other words, keep our eyes on God now, keep our faith and our trust in Him, give Him glory and praise and honor when we do make it and things do go right, instead of taking credit all the time. Hello. Give Him the credit. If we'll do that, He will teach us His way. Hallelujah. I love that. Isn't that good? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Okay, now we're learning some things to do. If you want to learn how to live in a way that God lives and walk in ways that He walks in, well, here they are. Mercy, truth. Don't ever violate the truth. Don't ever step away from the truth. Don't lie. Don't be hateful. Be merciful. You're not going to get at the end of your life and wish you'd been a little meaner. You're going to always wish you'd been a little kinder. You'll think of people you wish you hadn't been so hard. You will never get to the end of your life and think, I wish I'd have been a little meaner. Not going to happen. No, as you get older, you'll think of the times that you were too hard, too unforgiving, too proud, too militant. Are you with me? Man, I want to develop some of that. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Stay in the covenant. Stay in the testimonies of His Word. Stay in line with what God says. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. The New Living Translation says, for the honor of Your name. I love that. You know, most of what God does is just good for Him. Not just you. It is good for you. He loves you. He's for you. We know that. And that's why He initially does it. But you know what? It makes Him look good when He forgives you. Often we forget that. You know, we live in a manner, we should live in a manner, that reflects on Him, that honors His name.
Right.
And, you know, it honors God. It is the honor of God to forgive us and to be merciful to us. It is His prerogative, His privilege, and His honor to forgive us if we call on Him, to pardon us when we confess our sin. He has every right to judge us for our sin. He has every right for us to continue in the consequences and the results of our sin, but it is His honor. And it is His name, and He is known for it throughout ages and throughout eternity and throughout the world, God is known for forgiving people who call on Him. That's just the kind of God He is. That's the kind of Jesus that Jesus is. You know, I think about Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me by the still waters, leads me to paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. He leads me in righteousness because I belong to Him. I reflect upon Him. I am His sheep. And it makes Him look good when I look good. It makes Him look good when I live right. For the honor of His name, we should do that. We should look to Him for the honor of His name. We should live right for the honor of His name. So the world will see how good He is. He's a God that delivers, and when you call on Him, He answers. He's a God that puts you up on your feet when there's no way to make it. He causes you to make it. Hallelujah. He's the God that forgives you and restores you and repairs you when you're broken. When Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and all the king's horse and all the king's men can't put them back together again, God can. Are you with me? And it honors Him when we get our lives straight and get our lives back together and come out of our sin. Hallelujah. For His name's sake. Man, that's a sermon all of itself. You remember when God was going to destroy Israel because they had, just sinned against God. When they came out of Egypt, Numbers the 14th chapter, they'd come back in the 13th chapter with a bad report, and the children of Israel cried out to God. God can't deliver them. God wasn't big enough to fix those big giants and those walled cities. God couldn't take them in the promised land. Listen, they just crossed the Red Sea but dry land. They'd just seen 10 plagues come on a whole nation of Egypt, and a whole nation of army of Egyptian army was destroyed in the Red Sea.
Yes.
And now they're whining and saying, God, because they saw some giants. Well, He just about had enough. And He was going to destroy them. And the Bible says that Moses prayed. This is the 14th chapter of Numbers is where it took place. And basically, you can read it. It's about the 11th verse through about the 20th verse there. Moses prayed and he said, God, what are You going to look like if You do that? That's exactly what he said. And the Bible says Moses interceded for Israel. He said, Lord, You brought them out with a mighty hand. And now it's going to look like You couldn't take care of them. You just wiped them all out.
That's right.
Now, I don't know all the ramifications. I know you're thinking, he's arguing with God there. Well, it's in there. Go read it. It's a 14th chapter of Numbers. I don't understand all that. But I know this. God wouldn't have looked good if He'd done that. Whether God was checking Moses out or whatever His intention was, I don't know, but that is what it says. He prayed. And the Bible says, according to Your word, because You have prayed, I will spare this nation. But they will perish in the wilderness, and they wander for 40 years in the wilderness. But I think it's fascinating that Moses was concerned about God's name. I wonder how much we're concerned about His name. We don't think a lot like that. That's my life, I do what I want to. Yeah, but what's God going to look like? What kind of reflection is that going to be on Him? I'm a pastor of this church. The way I live reflects on Him. So I need to think about that before I make those decisions. When I stand at that crossroad, when I'm tempted or whatever the case may be, or maybe even it's okay for me to do something, but people will misunderstand. I stay away from things that not necessarily wrong, but people just don't understand. So I'm not going to mess with it. I stay away from it because I don't want to bring reproach on His name for His name's sake. Now flip that coin. God will forgive you for His name's sake because that's what He's known for. That's what He does.
Yeah.
God will be merciful to you when you call on Him because that's who He is. He can't help but do it. That's who He is. I'm telling you, God's good. God is merciful. God is forgiving.
Yeah.
God's a God of salvation. God's a God of deliverance. He can't help but deliver you. If you call on Him and you trust in Him, He will. This is God. This is what He is. This is who He is. For the honor of His name, He'll do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Lest you walk off and tell someone, well, I prayed and God didn't hear me. Yeah, God did hear you too. Woo! This is better preaching y'all already admitted. For Your name's sake, 11th verse, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Don't pardon me because I'm worthy. You're not, and I'm not either. Pardon me for Your name's sake, because You said You would. Isn't that good? Yeah, but I'm so unworthy. Well, of course you are. That's why you're getting forgiveness. It always amazes me, people say, you don't know what they did. I can't forgive them. You just don't know what they did. I just can't forgive them. Well, my question would be, what can you forgive someone for if not for their sin? You don't forgive people for what they do right. You forgive people for what they do wrong.
Yeah.
It is what they did wrong that you forgive, and it is the only thing you can forgive.
Amen.
Are you out there?
Yes.
It's because they sinned that they need forgiveness, if they've asked it. And by the help of God, and the, you know, with the mercy of God, and the grace of God, and strength of God, you can forgive. You can. With His power, you can. Not on your own, but you're not on your own. Hallelujah. But sin is what God forgives. Amen. And He does it for His name's sake. Well, that's good stuff. That's good. Okay, let's move on here. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. In other words, have an awesome respect and reverence and fear of God. I think that's what's wrong with the world today. There's no fear of God. There's no respect for God. There's no loyalty. There's no honor for God. There's nothing that's taboo, you know, except the Muslim world. Hello. I mean, really, it's just a sad case in this country that you can say anything about Jesus, anything about Christianity. You can slander Jesus. You can make a cuss word out of Jesus. You can use God's name in vain, but boy, don't say anything about Muhammad.
No.
I'm not mad at the Muslims. I'm not against them. Stay with me. I'm not against Buddhists. I'm not against anybody. I'm for Jesus.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
Why is it when you kick your foot, you don't say, "Old Buddha"?
Right.
See, the devil doesn't like that name, Jesus. And there's an onslaught on Jesus.
Right.
You can say anything. I tell you, freedom of speech in this country, they'll defend you for the filthiest, most ungodly things on television
right.
and on the newsstand. And you yeah. can say things in public. Boy, you mention Jesus, they shut you down.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're violating people's rights by mentioning Jesus out loud.
Yeah.
But you can say anything else. And, that, and the... Excuse me, ACLU and everybody will defend it to the death, but when you mention Jesus, you're in trouble. Little imbalance there. It's not righteous judgment, is it? Hello. Let me get off that soapbox. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him. Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. I don't want to be like the world. Listen, I'm in the world, and I don't hate the world. I don't hate people in the world, but I don't want to be like the people in the world. I want to be like the Lord. I want to love people. I don't want to be a redneck Christian where I'm against everybody that's in sin. I'm not. I think they can repent and come back to Jesus, and I won't see them do that. Are you with me? But I want to be a man that stands up for the Lord. A man that's not ashamed of being a Jesus person.
That's right.
And that should be our mantra, as it were, in life, that we are Jesus people. We're Jesus women. We're Jesus men. Hallelujah. Not ashamed. We have fear. We fear God. We don't fear man. Amen? He himself, this man that fears God. I'm going to get some water there. Woo, I am healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He himself, this man that fears God. That's he himself. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Okay, you fear God?
Yes.
All right, well, that's you. He himself shall spend his, what does it say? Shall dwell in prosperity. Oh, hallelujah. That's in the Bible? Yes, it is. God wants to prosper you.
Yeah.
But let's back up. What does it say? He that fears God. And obviously someone whose eyes are on the Lord, who's looking to heaven, who's desirous for Him, who's asking Him to teach them their ways. I love that. Because if you let God teach you and walk in His ways, you will prosper. Not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to want to stay there. Are you with me? Not a sin to be depressed and down, but it's a sin to want to stay there and not come out of it. Come on, let's get out of that pit. Amen. Let's get out of that mud hole. Let's get out of that mess. You know, I like Isaiah 48:17-18. You know what it says? It says, I am the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth thee to profit, that leads thee by the way that thou should go. 18th verse says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been like a river, and our righteousness like the waves of the sea. Man, that's good, isn't it? I love that. So God teaches us, and what does He do when He teaches us? He teaches us to profit. He teaches us to succeed. God wants you to succeed. He wants your business to make it. He wants your family to make it. He wants your bills to be paid. Come on. Jesus said, go give to the poor. He didn't say, leave them alone. They're in my perfect will. No, He said, give to the poor. The church should be involved in helping poor people. And to do that, we're going to have to get on top of it. Because if the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. So here we're seeing benefits of putting God first. If we'll fear God and we'll ask Him to teach us and lead, it won't be just, we won't be like flower children. Remember that era, you know, just flower power, you know, just peace, love, you know, love. Well, I mean, that's not, that was just a convoluted thing they were talking about here. You know, Jesus was firm. He turned the money changers' tables over and ran them out with a whip. Come on.
That's right.
He could be firm. And the Bible teaches work and hard work and taking up, standing up for your family and your rights and so on and so forth. So when we talk about walking in love, it doesn't mean we're wimps. Hello. In fact, it takes a real man to love. It takes a real man to love Jesus. It takes a real man to pray. And real men and real women do pray. And real men and real women do love Jesus. I tell you what, you're not in the majority when you stand up for Jesus in this world. Everybody in the world's not going to jump on your bandwagon. Some will, some won't, but you know, you have to have some courage about you. Amen? But if you will, God will teach you how to love people. You can be firm in love. I mean, it doesn't mean you're crying all the time. I mean, hello. Y'all getting something out of this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, because I'm waiting for y'all to really, I'm waiting for a real climactic point here to stop, and I'm not there yet. I'm not feeling it. I know you're listening. 13th verse, He Himself shall dwell in prosperity, and His descendants shall inherit the earth. Woo! The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant.
Yeah.
Man, that's what we're talking about here.
That's right.
Hey, I'm learning day by day, and you are too, on the news, you know, we're learning some things about health care, you know, that's in the covenant there. I'm not really interested in that covenant. We're learning all kinds of secrets that were in there and hidden and so on. But you know what? I want to know the secrets of this covenant.
Absolutely.
Are you with me? There's a whole lot better stuff in here and a whole lot better benefits in here.
Ooh.
And they're paid for.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're paid up front, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. The New Living Translation says always looking toward the Lord. Are you always looking toward the Lord? Man, that's a discipline. Come on, I got to confess, I don't always do that. Come on, anybody join me on this? Don't always do that. You know, but I should be. And when I do, I get strength and I get courage. And faith ignites on the inside of me and I have a good day. When my eyes are looking toward heaven, I got a covenant, praise God. I got a God who loves me. I got a God of honor who's merciful and tender and forgiving, the God of my salvation, hallelujah, who will not let me be ashamed, nor will He let my enemies triumph over me, hallelujah, who is teaching me His ways, and I'm learning to walk in His paths, and I'm living in prosperity, and my descendants will inherit the earth. See, when I look to Him, it's going to be all right. When I see Him, it's okay. I love that example, R.W. Shambach, great preacher. He talks about the shepherd and the sheep. And he says, you know, the sheep, he said, when the shepherd's out there keeping the sheep, if they hear the wolf howl, you know, the wolf gets on the, you know, on the hills and starts, oh, he said, if you watch those sheep and that shepherd standing there, those sheep don't look up, see where that wolf is. He says, they're chomping on that grass. If they lift their heads up, they just lift their heads up, see if the shepherd's still there. If he's still there, they just keep chomping on that grass. Of course, he really gets dramatic with it, you know. So, you know, we're listening for the wolves howling. We're listening for the bad reports. And so, you know what we need to do? Just lift our eyes and make sure the shepherd's still there.
Amen.
If we keep our eyes on Him, that's what David said. He says, I look to Him. My eyes are looking toward You. I'm not looking over here and over there and over. What about this? What about? Well, hey, I'm looking. He hadn't changed. He's still the same. He's still on the throne. There's no bankruptcy in heaven. No bailouts in heaven. Hallelujah. Everything's fine. Jesus is still Lord and God's still on the throne and the devil's still a loser and a liar. We win. Amen. Hallelujah. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. My New King James here says, and New Living Translation says, always looking toward the Lord. For he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Oh, the snares have been made. Oh, yeah. The devil's out to get us, but he's a loser and a liar. God will pluck us out of the net. We're not going to get caught. We're not going to get trapped. We're not locked in. We can make it. Praise God.
Right.
Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. You know, he's talking about the pain that he's in. This is a little bit of his whining going on. You'll see that a lot in the song. But he pulls it out. He said, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. And there's been times I've been there too. How about you?
Yeah.
Needed some help. But see, he didn't quit. He didn't stay there.
Right.
He looked to heaven and he asked for help.
Yeah.
So you've got to ask God to help you. Ask him. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. The next verse says, everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh, the door will be opened unto them. So this is, the fulfillment of that, of course, is in Christ and the power of prayer that we have in Jesus' name now, this new covenant. But here he was, he looked to God, and he's asking God to look on him in his affliction and his pain and forgive all my sins. Yeah, he wants to come clean. Consider my enemies, for there are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Anybody ever hated you with a cruel hatred? You just couldn't, and I just can't figure it out. I don't know why anybody... Why would anybody hate me anyway? I don't get it. But anyway, it happens for whatever reason. And it seems like they're always trying to do you under, and take you down. And sometimes it's in business. Sometimes it's in family. And anyway, he says this, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Y'all see that? How many believe God does deliver? Of course he does. This wasn't a vain prayer. This wasn't just a religious, rote or by memory. He wasn't just saying these things. He was praying. He was asking God to help because he believed that God would help. And he came in faith, and that's the key. If you come trusting, God will deliver. He says, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Wow. It's all about you. I mean, that's what he's saying. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. We sang that song. It is all about him. Your eyes, your focus, your faith, your trust, your waiting, your anticipation, your expectation is on him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And if you'll do that, he will deliver you. In fact, he ends up saying this for all of Israel. He says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. I believe God will redeem us out of all of our troubles. Paul said, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And he was quoting the Psalms when he said that. Well, we just need to get our eyes fixed on him. Amen?
Yes.
Faith is a focus. Everybody say, faith is a focus.
Faith is a focus.
It's who you're focusing on. Are you looking at that problem? Are you looking at that trouble? Are you looking at that pain? Are you looking at this and looking at that? Are you looking at television? Are you looking at the news? Are you looking at him? You get your eyes on him, everything will get dimmer and dimmer, and he'll get brighter and brighter. And I'll tell you something about just simple geography. You'll understand this. Excuse me. Things become clearer by approach. And the more you walk by faith, the closer you get to him and his word and his promises. And the horizon will be filled with the word, with him and his promises. The more you walk, the closer you get to it. If you continue to be negative, if you continue to, point out the problems, if you continue to talk about all the lack and the pain, you get further and further away from him and his word and closer to the problem. And the problem fills your horizon. And if you get at the foot of that mountain, you can't see the sun. You can't see anything but the mountain. That's it. But why don't we get at the foot of his promise?
Yeah.
Lord, there's nothing left but His Word. Everything, every chain has fallen off. Everything has got dark and dim. He's got brighter and brighter. We're just getting closer and closer and closer in the path of the just. Proverbs 4:18 says, it's as a shining light that shines more and more unto that perfect day. It gets to where we can't see anything but victory. We can't see anything but salvation. We can't see anything but peace and joy and prosperity. Hallelujah, because we're filled. The rise is filled with Him. And where God is, there is no lack. It's a discipline. It takes effort, but it's well worth the effort, and it's well worth the discipline. Amen. Let's look to God. Amen.